Let us pray to the Lord. Heavenly Father, as the rain comes down to replenish the earth, we give you thanks and praise for the living water of the Holy Spirit who continues to fill us through the word of Jesus Christ and his holy sacrament given to us. Lord Jesus, now may the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Towards the end of my parents' lives, they decided to make life a little easier for me and my three older siblings. Well, the four of us have very good relationships, and I'm sure that we would have worked everything out on our own. Nevertheless, my parents chose to conduct a survey about family heirlooms. My mom picked up the phone and she called me one day. So your father and I are asking the four of you kids what you would like from us after we are gone. The direct approach caught me off guard, but she was serious and she asked with loving generosity. I took the question seriously and honored their wishes to speak up. I thought about it. When I was a little boy, I was absolutely captivated by the ashtray my dad welded together as a Marine in World War II. The main tray was a 60-millimeter mortar shell. In the center of the humongous shell was an impressive 30-caliber bullet, fully intact, and surrounded by 22-caliber shells turned into turrets surrounding the projectile fortress. Protruding from the 30-caliber bullet was a warplane also consisting of ammunition. The design was ingenious, and talk about the ashtray doubling up as a very effective paperweight. So I finally spit it out. May I have Dad's ashtray, please? Mom said it was mine, and it adorns our living room to this day. My mom came back. Well, that covers your father. Well, what do you want from me? This was a bigger ask. My mom was a major fan of Ethan Allen furniture. I was around as a little boy when she made plans for the big purchase. She had her eye on a beautiful maple hutch. It adorned our kitchen and our dining areas in the house that I grew up in. When I see that hutch, I can see my childhood. She let me have it. And of course, they gave even more than we asked. But these two items made up an incredibly special inheritance for my parents. But as we all know, nothing can take the place of the real inheritance that comes from the heart, that comes from the heart of a family. I can still hear the tone and the sound of my parents' voices, even though they've been gone for many years. I can see their looks in my mind's eye, and I have dreams about them, and I still remember their life lessons. These lasting things are the real inheritance given to us. My mom was very protective. She always told me, no matter how old I got, to slow down. She was looking after her baby. She called me her baby. Even after I was 50 years old, I was always her baby. She would also tell me not to eat so much, and she got all over my case for gaining weight. I have to chuckle. She would say, "Oh, Alfonso, you used to look so good." After that scolding, she instructed me to take a seat so that she would serve me the sizable portions of delicious food she had prepared for me. It was a no-win situation, but I loved every minute of it. She spoiled me. The best memory I have of my mother was when she tucked me into bed as a little boy. We didn't pray as a family. We didn't read scripture as a family, but this she did do. She would make the sign of the cross over me in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And she would then say, "God bless my baby who does the Beatle," because I would dance when I heard the Beatles. For those unfamiliar with the hits of the 60s and the 70s last century, the Beatles were a very famous rock band in the same era as the Monkees and the Turtles, but considerably more famous. I won't get into my love for Elvis. I got to listen to the 50s too, as my siblings were much older than I was. And we'll leave it at that. At the same time, though, one of the greatest memories with my mom, and I just don't have time to get into my wonderful dad, was on the other side of the life spectrum. The Lord permitted me to be right by her side with the word of Christ in prayer, assuring her of the Lord's presence and his eternal love and mercy for her. These moments were in the real inheritance as I got to be with her right before she died. And she heard, and she received. But all these, however, are fleeting, aren't they? There are moments we want to hold on to forever, but the sand of time slips through our fingers. That's why we can never put too much stock in earthly inheritance, and certainly in our sin we have a tendency to do that. This is from Luke's gospel. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher," speaking to Jesus, "tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to them, "Man, who made me a judge and arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And the rich man thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And there is Ecclesiastes chapter 2. "I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or be a fool? Yet he will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There's a reason that the Lord is so straightforward towards us about these things, brothers and sisters. We want stability. We desire grounding, getting settled, being able to enjoy, finally, the predictability for terra firma, saved from the tumult of restless and terrifying seas in the world. Can we finally get to the point that we don't have to be knocked down again and start all over? But C.S. Lewis said, "If we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world." Unquote. And Lewis was right. The bodily resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ was not for bragging rights, for an impressive religious and historical factoid. We covered its phenomenal objective historical credentials last Sunday, but we will include a few more in quick summary. Christ's fulfillment of messianic prophecy, and yes, the resurrection was already foretold in the Old Testament. His other real predictions during his earthly ministry, which came to fruition, such as the destruction of the Jerusalem temple in AD 70, the confirmation of his death by the expert Roman executioners, the vested knowledge of where his tomb was located by his enemies, followers, and the Romans, the seal in the guard on the tomb, the eyewitness testimony of his resurrection, with most of those occasions being with multiple eyewitnesses at the same time so as to eliminate the possibility of hallucination, the myriad of testimony to the resurrection spreading like wildfire among Gnostic historians, Roman historians, Jewish, Greek historians, and Christian historians. the willingness of his disciples to unhesitatingly give up their lives for the proclamation of the risen Christ, the explosive growth of the Christian church, the seismic shift of the single most important day of worship from Saturday Sabbath to Sunday, the day of Jesus' resurrection. And then there is the empirical testimony that is today, the impeccable catalog of the ancient manuscripts of Scripture, which have been handed down to us in the church, but even more, the changed lives which continue to shine the light of Jesus in inexplicable ways. But as we proclaimed last Sunday, these facets are the foundation for the rest of the story, and the rest of the story is your life, Christians, here, today, now. The resurrection of Jesus means that he will keep his promises. And I offer seven to you that I so much enjoyed choosing for this sermon. Psalm 46:1, all seven of these are phenomenal comfort. And these are true because Jesus is risen. Here they are, the seven. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 42, verse 3, a bruised reed he will not break, a faintly burning wick he will not quench. Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the rivers, I will be with you. Through the rivers will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and the flame will not set you ablaze. Isaiah 49:16, behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me, the walls of the fortress that he builds around you. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Keep your life free from the love of money. Be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. John 10, 28. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Verse 29. My Father has given them to me. He is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. As much as the soulish memory and connection we have with loved ones who have passed is greater than mere heirlooms, the imperishable inheritance we have through the risen Christ is greater than anything in this world. It is so great that we must understand its implications for us and live in its power. We're all familiar with the saying, we have nothing to lose. This can certainly be said with a spirit and a mindset of defeatism, trapped by the fates with humiliatingly terrible inevitability. But that is not how we speak of it, we who have been granted faith in Jesus. We can see with the perspective and the fortitude of the prophets. They had the view from 40,000 feet clear as day. They saw the forest through the trees. The fact and reality are that God tells us in and through his risen Son, our Lord Jesus, who conquered all sin, all death, all darkness, that you, Christian, who are in Christ, you have an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading. This is not a theoretical thing. This is something that is yours already. From God's pan-time view, the inheritance is fully yours. And it is so great that nothing can tarnish it. Our flesh, however, wants to play the skeptic. But that's all about the future. That's all about heaven someday. And that's precisely where we are being deceived. to know this imperishable inheritance already, Christian, is to be given power for your life today. For example, all the good works that you do through faith were not only prepared in advance for you to do before you were born, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, but those good works are going to follow you into future glory in heaven, Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. That is, some things are real and true from the present into the future. Likewise, some things are real and true from the future back to the present. St. Paul writes, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us." This is true for you right now, Christians. Even the present sufferings cannot change what is already yours right here and right now. St. Peter said at 1 Peter 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he's caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power, get this, are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Note this impeccable truth. By virtue of God having already guaranteed your inheritance, he is now vested in you. What does that mean for you today? It means he guards you. Verse 5, "who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." This is a stunning truth, Christians. The God of the universe, who on account of what he has already committed to you by virtue of Christ's resurrection, is fully committed to guard you today so that nothing can stop his blessing you. And just when we think things are bad, God works a work that uses the crucible of our trials to refine our faith, even as gold is refined by fire. The Venerable Bede, quote, "Our inheritance is imperishable because it is a heavenly life with which neither age, nor illness, nor death, nor plague can touch. It is undefiled because no unclean person can enter into it. It is unfading because the heavenly blessings are such that even after long enjoyment of them, the blessed never grow tired." From the great Athanasius. "Because the saints saw that the divine fire would cleanse them and benefit them, they did not shrink back from or get discouraged by the trials which they faced. Rather than being hurt by what they went through, they grew and they were made better. They were shining like gold, which had been refined by fire." And there is more for the right here and now. Because we all share this imperishable inheritance, and because we are all guarded by God to remain in it, we are now empowered to love and to serve one another. I've said it many times over the years. I'm going to say it again. I am proud of our congregation. We don't simply worship on Sundays in the divine service, but we worship with our bodies and our service to each other and others in our community. By God's grace, we are living our faith. This is evidence of two things as per our consideration today. One, that we have an imperishable inheritance that even now reveals light through our momentary struggles. Because of the inheritance, there's light beaming from us even when we are having hard times. And two, that we remain guarded by the risen Christ to go forth in our faith. Our sister in Christ, Cheryl Kim, has advanced stage 3 cancer. It's at level C. In the last 2 weeks, just the last 2 weeks, not to mention all the time that's passed, several, not a few, several members, and even former members of our congregation who have been back in town, have been involved and will be involved in taking her to her doctor's appointments and helping her in numerous ways. And Cheryl knows that through this struggle, she is not alone. She sees Jesus, and she knows she's being guarded. More than one member was with me to pray over Tristan Stallard on two different occasions. Once at Chalk Orange, and then at Kaiser in Hollywood. After an SUV ran a red light and struck him on his e-bike, and he was dragged along, and it was extremely serious. And this led to the prayers and the testimony of Tristan's mother, Ashley, beholding by his side 24/7 the hand of God upon her son in ways even inexplicable from a medical perspective. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed over him, anointed him with oil, and let God's word fall on him. The doctor was amazed when he saw the scans. And he was released from the hospital this past week. And I didn't think I'd get to see him today in church. But there he is in the very back. Someone for whom Jesus is shining. And someone whom Jesus is guarding. We are guarded by the risen Christ. And the light of your imperishable inheritance is always shining through. In the body of Christ, the church, God therefore calls you indispensable. And those who are indispensable are called to be loved and cared for. That is who and what we are as a church of Christ. Yesterday I had a sister in the Lord Jesus Christ pray for me. And it was a stunning prayer. It made a huge difference for me when I went to make a house call where people needed to see their pastor. Yes, Christians, your eternal, imperishable inheritance has present-day ramifications. It means that you're guarded today. It means that you're loved today. It means that for day, yes, even for today, you are granted joy, though now for a little while, please underline the words little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, though it perishes, is tested by fire, may be found and to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Rejoice, Christians. Your imperishable inheritance is already being revealed because Jesus is holding you and he is guarding you and he will never let you go. Let's live now as his people and not let each other go. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. Amen. Amen.